Vasectomy is intended to be a permanent form of contraception, so trying to avoid a pregnancy. And basically, it involves blocking the vas, so the tube that delivers the sperm from the testicle, from getting that sperm into the ejaculate to cause a pregnancy. There's always a lot of fear, and sometimes a lot of it is just misconceptions about what a vasectomy is. So, at our clinic, how patients work is that they'll call the office, book appointments. So we often do our initial consultation just over the phone. And so the American Urological Association has a really nice breakdown in terms of like the minimal amount of information someone should know before getting a vasectomy done. And so we go through that. So I talk to them about what is a vasectomy, what are potential risks of a vasectomy, what happens after a vasectomy, and all the sort of just basically the pre, during, and after a vasectomy.
This is the Man Up Podcast, a doctor's guide to men's health. Each week on our podcast, we interview the top specialists of the field on various topics of men's health. You have questions that you are too afraid to ask? We have the answers. This week, our episode is titled, The Big Snip, Dissecting the Vasectomy for Men. I'm Dr. Kevin Chun. I'm joined as always by my co-host, Dr. Justin Dubin. Justin, that's not a mistake our listeners heard. This may have a very same title, but we're just kind of rebooting the episode because, it was a very popular episode, and guys just have so many questions about the vasectomy, right?
Yeah, Kev. I mean, listen, it is also coming close to March Madness, and is one of the most popular times. Data driven, we have this is actually fact. March Madness, the end of December. These are the most popular times for guys to get vasectomies. It's a great opportunity in March to sit down, ice your balls for a few days, and watch some great basketball. December, guys like to get it because, they've gone through their insurance deductibles.
Right.
And,
right.
You have some holiday time. It's a good time to also chill and take some time off, even
right.
when you don't need to use the vacation time. So they're really two popular times. And we wanted to redo this episode because, March Madness is right around the corner. I think a lot of guys are thinking about it. This is a good resource for guys to get some information on vasectomy, some accurate information.
That's a fantastic point. Accurate information. There are, and Justin, really spearheads this, but there's a lot of medical misinformation out there. And the vasectomy is not immune to that. I have a lot
Absolutely.
Of patients coming in who are saying like, doc, I just don't want to do it because I don't want to have zero testosterone, and as we'll see in this episode, that is just not true. So, we want our patients to be educated. The internet is just a fabulous resource now. You have specialists like us just talking to you and trying to give you the most accurate information. So when you do go see a doctor, you're going to have the fantastic information. They can have maybe a little bit more nuance, some more questions that are more specific than just kind of some of the basic level stuff that we can kind of inform you about, right, Justin?
Yeah, for sure. And listen, at the end of the day, a vasectomy is an incredibly, and we say this multiple times in this episode, it's an incredibly safe, relatively quick procedure that is well tolerated and is one of the best things you can do for yourself and your partner in terms of contraception, right? No more condoms. No more forcing your partner to go on things like oral birth control or IUDs or, getting their tubes tied, which
right.
I found out, four women a year annually die from complications secondary to us getting their tubes tied, which is insane. So, this is much, much safer, a much better procedure for you and your partner.
Right.
And we're also lucky we got Dr. Pramal Patel, a good friend of ours, on who's done a whole bunch of those. Obviously, we have two, but it's always fun to have one of our friends and talk about vasectomy.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And also on that note of getting your tubes tied, it's mostly it's done in the operating room, and a vasectomy is something that's mostly done in the clinic. So, a lot of things that a vasectomy, there's so many pros to it. And I think with this episode, we really want to highlight a lot of it. Make sure you accurately know how the process goes, what to expect when you're going into a vasectomy, and what to expect on the other side of it.
and you know, some of the kind of pitfalls not to fall into. And you know, to hopefully, like I like to tell my patients, I want your vasectomy experience to be excellent and beautiful. And you know, when you look back on it, you look back on it fondly. So,
yeah, no, it sounds funny, but you're right. Like, a lot of guys will come up to me and they'll go, vasectomy, best thing I ever got, best thing I ever did. And I think we just really need to remove that stigma here. Just a little bit about Dr. Patel. He's an assistant professor within the section of urology at the University of Manitoba up in Canada. He's completed his fellowship in male infertility, microsurgery, and sexual medicine at the University of Miami. That's how we actually knew him when we were residents, and he was a fellow. He's published numerous manuscripts in urology, male reproduction, and you know, he is a infertility and sexual medicine specialist down up in Manitoba. So we're really excited to have him on. He did some, he's got a great clinic up there, and does some really wonderful men's health up there as well. I think having said that, enjoy your learning about vasectomy. And this is also a great tool for ladies. If you are interested in having your partner get a vasectomy, please send them this podcast as well. It's always a good education, is a valuable tool and can really help guys, you know, make that decision or make that leap, or at least start the conversation to do something like a vasectomy. So having said that, let's get into it, Kev. Let's talk about vasectomy.
All right, Dr. Patel, let's jump right into it. What is a vasectomy?
Okay, so a vasectomy is intended to be a permanent form of contraception, so trying to avoid a pregnancy. And basically, it involves blocking the vas, so the tube that delivers the sperm from the testicle, from getting that sperm into the ejaculate to cause a pregnancy.
Yeah, it's pretty simple. It's a pretty simple idea. The way I like to describe it also is I like to think of the vas as the highway that the sperm travel through from the testicle to the outside world. And basically we're cutting that highway.
Is it always a highway? It might be a slow street. You know, it might not necessarily be a highway.
Well, you know, for a lot of the guys that we see, I don't know, sometimes we see guys with 3-4 kids, it's a highway. All right.
Could be a lazy river. You never really know.
But yeah, so basically we're preventing the sperm from leaving your testicles, right? And, you know, I think a lot of guys are very scared about this procedure, and actually not really rightfully so. It's a very safe, it's a very effective surgery. So can you give us a breakdown of, you know, a typical vasectomy procedure, what the process is, coming into your office, you know, talking with you, and then someone decides they want to get a vasectomy, what that process really entails?
Yeah, 100%. So just as you guys said, there's always a lot of fear. And sometimes a lot of it is just misconceptions about what a vasectomy is. So, you know, at our clinic, how patients work is that they'll call the office, book appointments. So we often do our initial consultation just over the phone. And so the American Urological Association has a really nice breakdown in terms of like the minimal amount of information someone should know before getting a vasectomy done. And so we go through that. So, I talk to them about what is a vasectomy, what are potential risks of a vasectomy, what happens after a vasectomy, and all the sort of just basically the pre, during, and after a vasectomy. And then once we sort of have hammered down the specifics, the patient will come in for their appointment. And again, before they get the vasectomy done, we again reiterate a lot of those common things about a vasectomy. Can you guys hear the kids in the background?
It's fine. You're good. Keep going.
Just, okay.
This is proof why you have to have a vasectomy. This is literally proof. Yeah.
I should have had my vasectomy. So, you know, basically, then you know, they'll come in for their appointment. We'll again go over all those common discussions about a vasectomy and what to expect after. When vasectomies are done, as what you guys do as well, and what the vast majority of vasectomists do, it's all done under local. So just local anesthesia, we'll freeze the skin just over that vas, the highway to hell. And then basically what we'll do is we'll find that vas or that tube, and then we'll block it off. So we'll usually at our center, we'll cut it, we'll clip it, and then we'll fry it just to make sure that none of those swimmers can get through the tubes. And then there's two vases on both sides. So we make sure that we tackle both of them. At our place, and probably similar to what you guys do as well, if someone has had a previous history of scrotal surgery, they may have had undescended testicles, maybe they've had a prior vasectomy reversal, we'll bring them in for an in-office evaluation before undergoing that vasectomy, just to make sure that if there isn't anything that's more complicated. So that's a general gist of the vasectomy.
So Dr. Patel, I just want to highlight one of the things you just said there. That's really important. You know, local anesthesia is chiefly what is mostly used or almost always the time used for vasectomies. But in certain clinics, certain other agents or other medications can be offered to kind of help, you know, if you're kind of being a little nervous about the procedure. Can you kind of elaborate on what some of these things can be?
Yeah, 100%. So, you know, like the vast majority of vasectomies can be safely done in the local, but, you know, it's easy for us to say this. A lot of people are always going to be anxious and nervous. And so things that you can offer in the office could be nitrous oxide, so laughing gas, just to help make that like experience more comfortable. You could pre-treat patients with like Valium or Ativan, lorazepam, just to kind of get them more comfortable. You know, at our clinic, and probably similar to most centers, you know, you obviously want to treat people after you've had them sign consent. So typically if somebody's super anxious, we'll bring them into the office earlier, discuss the vasectomy, sign the consent, give them some Ativan before and about half an hour before. And then ultimately other options that you could take is that you could offer IV sedation or even go so far as to take someone to the operating room. And sometimes that may be necessary, you know, depending if they've had a number of other surgeries done, you may want to be able to do that in the operating room. So there's definitely a whole spectrum of options for sedation for a vasectomy.
That's awesome. And so, I mean, the bottom line is we can really cater to your needs here. You know, there's a lot of different ways in which we can do a vasectomy. And, you know, some guys are just very, very scared of going under. And we understand that. Or getting a knife to their scrotum or which kind of leads to my next question. There are a lot of different approaches to doing a vasectomy. And the two big ones are the scalpel versus no scalpel techniques. Can you give our listeners a little bit of information on what they mean by no scalpel versus scalpel techniques and what the differences are?
Yeah, you know, I think there's a huge, I don't know if I want to say misconception, but I think a lot of this is obviously around the area of like advertising and marketing. Like a lot of places will say, well, we do the no scalpel vasectomy. And I have patients that will ask, like, you know, do you do the laser vasectomy, like the no cut? And I said, well, you got to make a cut somehow. Like, you got to do something. Like, there are, you know, like, and I think there's a, it's definitely turned into a big marketing thing. I would say probably, I don't think anybody really does a scalpel vasectomy anymore. Like, we all use the no scalpel technique. Like, there are certain situations, of course, where, like we talked about, if you had prior surgery, that you may need to make an incision for a number of reasons. But basically, the no scalpel vasectomy, all you're really using is a sharp pair of instruments to open up the skin. But regardless, you got to open the skin to get to the vas. And I think that's where a lot of people, you know, it's actually shocking how many people come to me and say, do you do the laser? I'm like, I don't even know what this is or where this sort of idea came from. It's like, I wish I did the laser, but So, you know, just as probably you guys would say as well, is that you got to use something to get through the skin. Certainly using a sharp pair of instruments versus a scalpel or like a knife or a blade does lead to less blood loss and probably easier recovery. So the incision is pretty small, but you do need to make some sort of an incision to get to the vas.
And that's important because a lot of patients will see that no scalpel and be like, so you're somehow magically going to get underneath the skin, completely ligate the vas, and then, you know, be out. And you're like, no. You know, you're still going to spread the skin. You're going to have an incision. It's just we're not using a scalpel. I think that's the most important thing to kind of differentiate with that. So
yeah, for sure. And I think the other thing is here is, you know, a lot of patients are like, I only want the scalpelless. I only want the scalpel. Like, or like whatever. Like, I think the important thing is when you're selecting a urologist or to do this procedure, is, you know, when it comes to these things, it's what they do the most frequently. I think, you know, we really know that both are pretty much equivalent. You know, the outcomes are the same. You're going to be sterile. So, you know, if your urologist is like, I use a scalpel and that's how they've been doing it forever, I think it's okay to use the scalpel. If they're using the scalpel, like, you know, the no scalpel, and they've been doing it forever, that's okay too. But also, if you really wanted to go to get a scalpel, no scalpel, you find someone who does it that way. But I think, you know, requesting your provider to do it in a way that they don't do it typically, you're going to put yourself in a situation that you really don't want to be.
That's a fantastic point. You know, it's, you know, the surgeons who are doing this, the urologists who are doing this, it isn't like this is their first time doing it. Right. And, you know, you want them to do it the way that they can do it really well at. And, you know, You know, then like you said, scalpel, no scalpel, at the end of the day, you know, it's going to, you know, hopefully lead to, you know, the sterility that you're looking for. And you're really not going to have those complications or anything like that that you're thinking you may have just because you're having it done with one technique. So,
yeah, 100%.
Yeah. So,
but let's get back.
Go ahead, Kevin.
Let's get back, you know. So another question, bunch of guys always ask is, how much time do I need to take off work after I get a vasectomy done?
Yeah. And, you know, it's so variable. I often just tell people, you know, like, so we try to do these near the tail end of the week. So whether it's like a Thursday or Friday, just so you can recover over the weekend and get back to work on the Monday. But, you know, I got guys who often, you know, I usually tell them to avoid heavy lifting for a week. But then, you know, yeah. You got some guys who, you know, if they're close colleagues of yours, you see them golfing the next day and you're like, okay, well, that you definitely didn't listen to my advice. but I would say that the vast majority of people, they only need like 2 or 3 days off work and they should be good the following week. But there's certainly cases where someone's sore for a lot longer, you know, like could be a week, could be 2 weeks. So, you know, from what we've looked at our experience, over 90-95% of guys are good after 2-3 days. And then you're always going to have the person who's a bit more sore for a few days extra, sometimes a week, and sometimes even longer. So that, and I think that's where it comes into that patient counseling, just to let them know that not all vasectomies are the same, not all two people are the same. And that's where I think a lot of fear comes from, is that there's all these horror stories of a vasectomy, of, you know, this happened or that happened. And we sometimes focus on, you know, the super rare cases, but everybody has their kind of own experience and their own healing. So, you know, it can vary person to person, but thankfully the vast majority of people are pretty good after a couple of days.
How long do you tell them to hold off on sex?
A week.
Yeah, I think we all agree there for sure. You know, I tell my patients hold off for a week for sex, usually strenuous activity. I'm on the same page as you. About a week, but yeah, I think most of these guys are good to go back to work after a couple of days. You know, it's always nice to do these on a Thursday or a Friday if you can, so no one's missing work, or maybe missing one day of work, and then most of these guys are good. So, I mean, the amount of the recovery is fairly tolerable, and I think a lot of my patients, and I'm sure you guys are on the same page. You know, I usually give them a call a few days later just to make sure, see how they're doing, and they're like, I don't even feel like I had surgery. It's pretty good. So, you know, the recovery period overall is pretty good, but the key is ice, right? Like now when we're talking about pain control afterwards, what's your protocol for your patients, Dr. Patel?
Yeah, just as you said, you know, like I think the vast majority of people, you put them like a scrotal support, ice on and off for 20 minutes on, 20 minutes off. And then you just take a, you know, extra strength Tylenol every 4 to 6 hours with some Advil. You're pretty good that you don't need anything stronger. You know, time to time, we'll have some people who do want some Tylenol 3s or a little bit stronger if they have a bit more discomfort. But, you know, most guys are pretty good with just over-the-counter pain medication and then just support.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times I just want to reassure the patient. I'm like, right. You're going in. We just finished the procedure. You got local on right now and, you know, a lot of these guys are like, you got to give me some pain meds. You got to give me some pain meds. I'm like, look, you're going to be fine. That ice is going to be great. Some just extra strength Tylenol is going to be great. You're watching some TV. You're going to be great. And that's about it. You know, just like, you know, Justin said, you know, a couple of days go by and you're like, oh, I didn't even really notice I had a procedure. We just kind of counsel you to kind of expect, you know, these are things that could potentially happen, but they're for the most part rarities, you know, these are the rare things that Dr. Patel was talking about that we kind of sometimes focus on, but most often not, they don't really happen.
Right.
You know?
Now, the major risks involved, we didn't actually talk about quickly the risks involved with vasectomy. Can you just give us a quick summary of some of the risks that patients are potentially at risk, although overall this procedure, as we all know, is very safe and a very low risk procedure.
Yeah. So basically, just like any other surgical procedure, I say there's a risk of bleeding, infection. So those are two things that can happen. Maybe some mild bruising. Chance of any of those things actually happening is less than 1%. So again, not very common, you know, but things that people do need to be aware of is that these tubes can reconnect, right? So you can get that recannulization where the tubes reconnect, even having a successful vasectomy. And there are some situations where a vasectomy fails, right? So you thought you did a good vasectomy, but then all of a sudden that 2 to 3 months when you do that testing, they still got moving sperm back. You retested, they're still moving sperm. So that is a realistic risk of the procedure. Apart from that, you know, there's not really any other big risks of the procedure. You know, one thing that I definitely do counsel men on is that there is a risk of testicular pain.
Right.
And oftentimes you will feel, you know, you probably got kicked in the boys and that'll go away after a few days. But there's certainly a real condition called post-vasectomy pain syndrome, you know, that is real. And, you know, I fortunately, it doesn't happen very often. Here in Manitoba, I think it's about like 2,500 vasectomies, you know, done annually. And probably similar to you guys, you know, I see a large volume of testicular pain. And fortunately, post-vasectomy pain is not very common. So I do see a few guys a year for this. But I would say the one big thing that they wish they knew was that they wish they knew that was they were told that before.
Right.
That it could be a realistic risk. So I always just counsel patients to say, hey, it's not common. It's probably not going to happen to you, but this could happen and we can treat it. But just FYI.
Yeah.
So on that note, just to stay on that point, for those unlucky individuals that somehow develop this post-vasectomy pain syndrome, how do you treat it?
Yeah. So for the most part, it often just goes away with time, right? So you could just use supportive management, maybe some anti-inflammatory, maybe some stronger pain medication just to get them through that period. But then the guys who are a year, 2 years, 3 years out, and they've always had this chronic testicular pain, they've seen a number of specialists or other family or primary care docs, and they just have no idea what this is, I'll offer a few options. So number one, you know, depending on how severe the pain is, we can often reverse the vasectomy, and that often works in over 95% of cases. Number two, you can remove the epididymis, so an epididymectomy, especially if they have that pinpoint tender pain just above the testicle. That again is very successful in pain management. And then another option is that you could do a cord denervation. So I'll bring them to the office, I'll inject some local medication into that cord. If it takes their pain away, then I'll do a cord denervation. And that I find is very effective as well. So, you know, I would say when we've looked at our experience recently, they've all been highly successful in helping with the pain.
Yeah, and listen, it usually doesn't get to that point, which is what is a big thing. And the chances of post-vasectomy pain syndrome are about 1%, maybe 1 to 2%, very low, but it is a potential thing. The other thing I always mention, and it's not really a side effect or a risk, is a sperm granuloma is something that can form in about 7% of patients. And I always bring this up for my patients because, you know, once in a while, I'll get a message or a call from a patient a couple months after, like, oh my God, I think I have this new testicular mass or something in my testicle. Yeah. Because guys, you know, they start feeling down there after they have a vasectomy way more. And it's just a sperm granuloma is just a little bit, if you think about it, when we're cutting that vas, there's back pressure that can develop. And it's a little bit of a ball that forms from that back pressure. And it's in about 7% of guys. It's not painful. But you can sometimes palpate it. Sometimes it goes away. Sometimes it stays there. But you know, I see once, maybe one or two a year where they come in and I just provide them reassurance by feeling their testicle and being like, you know, it's a sperm granuloma.
You're one of the 7% that has a sperm graveyard, you know, that's kind of built up.
I've never thought about that. That's great.
And a lot of guys think it's the clips, right? They're like, oh, I can feel, you know, I can feel the clips. And you're like, no, like it'd be impossible to feel those clips. It's just, you know, a bit of a granuloma where the sperm gets out. So yeah, 100%. It's a good point to make that. And you're right. Some people do get concerned that is, you know, testicular cancer or a lump or something like that. So definitely, you know, reassurance is key.
All right. So now the patient, you have a vasectomy, you've waited that week, you know, we're able to have sex, you know, are you sterile right away after the surgery? Can you just go ahead and, you know, just go ahead and, you know, raw dog it, or you gotta use some kind of contraception here?
Just rampage. Yeah. You gotta still keep using that, use that contraception. Cause you will get someone pregnant if you don't get that testing done. So basically, you know, how we do, and similar to what you guys do as well, you know, about 3-4 months after, we'll do that post vasectomy semen analysis just to confirm there's no sperm. Most times we just get one if there's no sperm. Sometimes if there is still sperm present, we'll get another one just to confirm. And then if there is still moving sperm present, we will get another one tested at about another 3 to 4 months just to make sure that there's no sperm. But again, keep telling them you got to still use protection because you can still get someone pregnant. So definitely I definitely reiterate that one a number of times just to let them know that they are still fertile.
So when all is said and done, you know patients pass their post vasectomy sperm checks. What is the overall success rate, like in terms of, you know, sterilization for a vasectomy that you would counsel a patient?
Yeah, I tell them after you've had a successful vasectomy as deemed as, you know, no sperm or, you know, less than 100,000, you know, non-moving sperm, we'll still say that there's a 1 in 2,000 risk of an unwanted pregnancy. So, you know, again, it's the best form of contraception we have, but, you know, nothing's certain. There's definitely been situations, I'm sure you guys have seen this as well, where you may have somebody refer to you who's had a successful vasectomy, then all of a sudden the pregnancy will happen. So, you know, I never really believed it, but then I saw one recently and I was like, oh, wow.
All right.
And you can see the products of that right now.
No, you know, it's interesting. And a lot of patients always ask me, they're like, you know, how is that possible? But, you know, hey, look, sperm can just find a way. And,
Jurassic Park.
Tissues want to kind of connect to each other. So it's possible that down the line, if you're that 1 in 2,000 that happens to fistulize or the sperm finds a way to that other end. And, but yeah, you know, I think that's one of the things we're not 100% sure exactly the mechanism behind it, right?
For sure. I mean, you know, same with you guys. We all do reversals, right? And like when you look at a reversal and you're reversing it, you're like, how is this possible that these tubes can reconnect?
Yeah.
It honestly is mind blowing to me that that's even possible. I never really believed it until I finally saw a patient who had literally two successful azoospermia, no sperm. They had a miscarriage. And then I got referred to the patient. And then you see the post testing. And it was like 400,000 moving sperm. And I was like, how is this possible? But, yeah. You know, just as you said, you know, nature's just trying to evolution. It all has to continue.
Well, listen, I think the easiest way, though, because I think a lot of guys hear 1 in 2,000 and they're like, dude, I'm going to have sex way more than 2,000 times in my life again. I hope you do. But I think to put it in context, you have to understand that, you know, birth control has a 7% chance of pregnancy when you're using it. This is over 150 times, about 140 something times more effective than birth control. So, you know, when you put it in that terms, I think you're really going to have high success and this is nothing to worry about. We did skip over the one thing of the actual success of the surgery, though. What percentage of the time does the vasectomy work, right? So there's two success things, right? It's the number of what percentage of the time after you get a vasectomy do you achieve no sperm in your ejaculate? And then once you have no sperm in your ejaculate, what percentage of the time could you actually achieve a pregnancy? Can you clarify those things for us?
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, like, so the success of a vasectomy, I'd probably say it's like 99%.
Yes.
Right. I would say that it's so high. And again, just like anything else, you know, the more you do it, the better your success rates are going to be. So someone who is, you know, obviously high volume vasectomy people or clinics, they're going to have really high success rates. So say 99% is going to be the success rate. And then that, you know, that post VAS thing, as we said, 1 in 2,000.
Yeah.
All right. So let's start jumping into some of the kind of more, you know, miscellaneous questions that sometimes we get asked during the counseling session. I had a patient come in and would ask me, you know, is my ejaculate or in terms, is my jizz going to be less after a vasectomy?
Yeah, great question. So for sure. There's all these sort of questions that people ask. So is my ejaculate going to be less? And no, you know, most of the fluid comes from somewhere else. So that's seminal vesicles. So the amount of sperm coming from the testicle is quite minimal. And sometimes it's not the best example, but I do say that there are people who are born without having sperm in their ejaculate, not born, but people who have blockages. And so their ejaculate is going to completely be normal. They wouldn't even know. So, you know, it's not going to change. And then other things like testosterone, is this going to impact my testosterone? You know, absolutely not.
Right.
You know, we're not causing any issues to the blood flow to the testicle. So that won't be impaired. It's not going to impair your urination. It won't impact your erections. And then, you know, there's always been this concern about prostate cancer, and that's been largely ruled out as well. Those are probably the biggest ones that I've encountered when it comes to, you know, common myths or misconceptions about a vasectomy.
Yeah, I think you kind of nailed them all. I think the other thing is people have questions about orgasm and sensation. These things are not compromised at all. And I think just to make it very simple, the only thing that changes after a vasectomy is that you're shooting blanks. Your sex life is the same. Your health is the same. Nothing else changes.
Oh.
What?
Well, there's also been studies shown that after vasectomy, your sex life may be better.
Oh, right? Really? Tell me about that.
Yeah. So there were surveys done. There were surveys done of vasectomized men or couples that, you know, and they basically found that the sexual satisfaction was actually increased. I don't know if it's because of they didn't know if it was the increased spontaneity of the sex that was happening, because that they were like, hey, we're not going to have kids if we have sex, maybe because they weren't using condoms anymore. That was a survey in like 2017, I think published in Germany. But that was interesting, right?
That's awesome. It kind of makes sense, I guess. You know, less stress, right?
Yeah.
A lot less stress,
right.
And 100%. You don't have to worry about it anymore.
So I think one thing we kind of skipped over that's very, very important here is the idea of permanence for a vasectomy. Now, you did mention vasectomy reversals. However, you know, when we counsel our patients, this is something that we think you need to consider as a permanent procedure. So while we can reverse it, you know, how do you counsel your patients going into vasectomy? Like, who is the right candidate for getting a vasectomy?
Mama. Yeah, you know, and this is, there's always... Sorry, it's so, you know, when it comes to the vasectomy, like the most majority of people who are going to be coming through your door are people who, you know, they have two, three, you know, or one kid. You know, they're going to be people who've already done their family planning. They're like, I'm done having kids. And those are pretty simple, right? You, there's really not much of a discussion piece. Like, you kind of let them know, hey, a vasectomy is permanent, consider it permanent. It can be reversed, or you can get IVF or sperm extracted. But those are often very expensive options. And these people are like, no, I'm done. I'm good. Like, I'm already lacking sleep. I just need to get this done with. But then the tricky part is always the people who don't have kids, right? The people who are younger, who are maybe late, early 20s, and they say, I don't want kids. I've made my decision. You know, and for those guys, what I'll tend to do is, you know, I will say, well, let me see you back in a couple months just to make sure you're fully committed with this plan. And if they sound reasonable and they're sound of mind, I don't think there's any harm of it. There's certainly been a paper published looking at decisional regret of vasectomies in younger people and without kids, and it's shown no difference between that of somebody who has children. So I don't think that's I don't really have any hard and fast rules as to, you know, I'm not going to give you a vasectomy because I think it should be off. You know, I think everybody should be open to it. But if you haven't had kids, or, you know, if you're young, if I have, you know, some, I often just say, let me just see you back one more time just to make sure you're fully okay for it. And certainly I'll always offer sperm banking to people as well to see if they're up for it. But I find, you know, of the hundreds I've done so far, like, I think only one person was somewhat interested and they didn't end up banking. So I don't find it to be very common.
Go ahead, Justin. No, Justin, go ahead.
I truly believe that anyone who doesn't want kids ever, or if they are done having kids, I don't really have a problem doing it. You know, I think that it's their body at the end of the day. I agree with you. You know, I think that, you know, if you don't want kids and you understand this is a permanent procedure with no plans, you know, even though it is an option, I tell my patients, you're going in with the 100% assumption that you do not want kids anymore. We understand things in life happen, and that's why vasectomy reversals do exist. But my goal is never to say, hey, we're going to do this with a plan of getting you sperm later down the line or having another child down the line. I don't care if you had kids, you didn't have kids. If you're 100% sure you don't want any or anymore, I'm fine with giving you a vasectomy as long as you understand that this is a permanent procedure. Kev?
Yeah, no, Justin, I agree. The protocol that I do with like patients that I see that are younger, kind of same thing with Dr. Patel. I definitely don't like, for my other patients, I kind of schedule them for a vasectomy within the next available time frame that's available. But with the younger patients, I go like, hey, look, you know, come back in a couple months. And I do stress a lot of the sperm banking. I go like, hey, look, there are, you know, these tech companies now that allow you to literally jizz at home and you can mail it in and it'll get frozen and you pay these annual fees and you just never know. That's what I say. Like, as much as you know, I would say some of the decisions I made when I was in the early 20s, I don't say I regret it, but I probably have a little different perspective now when I'm a little older, you know? So I agree with you, Justin, 100% that, like, your body, your decision, and I will offer that. I will offer the vasectomy. It's just, you know, a lot of counseling and all that stuff just needs to be done.
No, for sure, for sure. So we kind of touched upon it a little bit already. Obviously, we've all been in agreement. Vasectomy is for someone who really does not want any more children. But life happens sometimes. You know, a lot of patients, especially for us, you know, they have a divorce. They find a new partner they want to have kids with, or something happens, and you know, they want to get their vasectomy reversed, or they want to have kids. So, you know, can you give us a little bit, highlight a little bit about, you know, what a vasectomy reversal is, and what other options there may be at play for someone who has a vasectomy and, you know, life happens, and they want to have a kid afterwards?
Yeah, 100%. Whether you want to have kids, or you want more kids, or, you know, whatever the situation is, you know, like you said, life happens. So basically you could do a vasectomy reversal. And often, you know, the goals of a vasectomy reversal is to restore that sperm into that highway or that lazy river to get that sperm back in the ejaculate. And so, you know, what we'll do is that we'll find that vasectomy site, we'll remove it, and then we'll check to see the fluid under a microscope to see if there's still sperm present. If there is, we'll reconnect the tubes. And then in, you know, usually over 95% of cases, we can get sperm back into the ejaculate. If a vasectomy was done a long time ago, or if you've, or if the tubes are just not developed, or if the tubes are blocked and sperm is not flowing, then we often need to connect that vas or that tube to an even smaller tube closer to the testicle, the source of sperm. And although that can work, the chance of success does go down to about 60 to 65%. So, you know, I always counsel everyone during a vasectomy reversal that we never really know which one we're going to do until the time of, but that right. time since the vasectomy is a good surrogate. And then the other option is you can extract sperm and do IVF. So again, another option, and you know, again, there's pros and cons between both options. And then, of course, there's other options like donor sperm insemination. So, you know, if you don't want to proceed with some of those options, and then of course, there's always adoption too, right? So there's always a bunch of different options that exist.
Great option as well. Yeah, no, I think it's a great summary. And like, so you know, even though we do say this is permanent, we understand life happens, and there are clearly a lot of different options. But there's a lot of factors, and it's important that you talk with your local urologist, you talk with your partner as well, because the partner, there are factors involved with your partner when determining what the appropriate treatment it actually is.
Right.
I think we kind of hit everything. Is there anything else we missed, guys?
No, I think we covered everything pretty well. I think on that last note, just something that, you know, I'm kind of passionate about, you know, vasectomy reversals, you know, if that's the path that you choose, you know, all three of us here talking about it, we're all specialists trained to do vasectomy reversals. And, you know, I'm very passionate that, like, if this is something that you're, you know, you've been assessed by your clinician and you're like, this is probably the way moving forward, you should try to find someone that's been specially trained in it. You know, these are very delicate tubules that need to be connected together. And, you know, look at Dr. Patel. You know, that looks like some guy you want to reconnect those tubules for you, you know?
Sure.
No, 100%, right? You want to make sure someone is microsurgically trained, fellowship trained, you know, a urologist, somebody who actually looks for sperm or the fluid at the time of the vasectomy reversal, just to make sure the right connection is being done, and someone who routinely does it, right? Like you really want to pick, you know, it's such a, you know, it's depending on, I mean, I guess in most places, I mean, I'm sure it's in the States and Canada, it's not a covered procedure. So it can be quite expensive. So you're spending a lot of money. It's a, you know, fertility is such an important thing that you want to make sure that the person you pick, you connect with them, but they're also well trained to be able to do this. So no, definitely. I think that's a huge thing that I speak to patients about how to pick, you know, if you're not going to go with me, just make sure that you're picking somebody who kind of meets those criterias. I guess the other thing I want to ask you guys specifically is, like, what about the Roe versus Wade? Are you guys seeing more vasectomies down in the States, or what's happening with that?
So, yes. Yeah, for sure. The data just came out. They just published it showing that, you know, at least Google searches, interest in vasectomy after Roe v. Wade has definitely increased. And I think we are all on the same page here when we all agree that, you know, we are big advocates of women's health, women's rights, and we are pro-choice and, you know, what women's access to abortion and care is access to women's health. And they are direct reflections of that. And if you're unfortunately in an area or a state that, you know, abortion is now becoming illegal in, I think the most considerate and thoughtful thing you can do for yourself or your partner is to consider getting a vasectomy. And obviously, you know, time will tell really what happens, but there will be an episode where we're excited to talk about the implications of that Roe v. Wade overturning, also with IVF. And there are going to be potentially implications for that as well. Kevin, what do you think?
I think that was well said. I don't need to say anything else after that. I think
that was very good. Very good. You put that. Yeah, 100%. I mean, we don't have the same issues here. So, you know, I certainly haven't been seeing a huge spike in vasectomies, but, you know, I obviously feel for what a lot of people are going with down south. And I was just curious as to if you guys are seeing an uptick. So that certainly makes sense.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely.
First time I've heard of the United States being like down south. You know, that's what happens when you.
Yeah, that's actually interesting. That's
there we go. There we go.
That's so funny. All right. So I think we really covered everything. Just as a recap of the conversation on vasectomy. Vasectomy is, we all consider, it's a permanent procedure that the only thing it does is causes you to be infertile. You're not, your sperm are around. Oh, actually, I did want to talk about the blue balls thing. Does vasectomy cause blue balls in men? You know, can they cause that?
Yeah. Great question. Sometimes I get asked that, but no, it doesn't. There we go. You know, people will ask that, but yeah.
So it doesn't cause blue balls. Your sperm, actually, what happens to your sperm? They die in your testicle. They just die. They get reabsorbed. That's something that I actually forgot, that people do ask that. But anyway, back to the summary, basically, you know, permanent procedure, does not have any significant side effects. Your sexual health is preserved. Your testosterone is preserved. You're not at risk for prostate cancer. The only thing that's compromised is you're shooting blanks. You are infertile. The success rate is incredibly high, over 99%. And then once you have no sperm in your ejaculate, you know, it's over almost 150 times more successful than oral birth control in preventing a pregnancy, which is a very, very good means of contraception. And I think the most important things for the recovery is it's an easy, quick recovery, usually no strenuous activity for a week, no sexual activity for a week. But where you can get burned is where you don't use protection after that week, right? I use that highway analogy for a reason, because when you block off a highway, there's still cars on both sides of the highway. So you got to clear out the cars before you can use that, before, you know, you can worry about, before you're sterile. So you know, 20 to 30 ejaculations
before the cars are sterile.
The cars gotta get out of there. The cars just gotta get out. Okay. And 20 to 30 ejaculations, you know, you said around three months, and you get that semen analysis. Once you're zero, you're good to go, and I think everyone's happy. And I think that's pretty much a summary of everything that we talked about today. Any other comments, guys?
Dr. Patel?
No, that's great. No, I think you covered it. I think you hit the heavy hitter topics. I think a lot of those things are, you know, common, you know, questions people always have, right? It's the same thing. It's such a common procedure. So I think that's, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head there. Oh, thanks, boys. I really appreciate this opportunity. I think the podcast's great. I let a lot of my patients know about it, so I think this is fantastic. So thanks for the opportunity, and apologize for my sperm running around here.
Well, anyway, on that note, so, you know, we've talked to Dr. Patel. Dr. Patel, talk a little bit about yourself. Talk about the men's clinic that you run up there.
Yeah, where can our listeners find you?
Tell us how people can find you. You have great information on your men's health clinic, IG. So,
yes,
you know,
really
give
good
these
content.
Plugs and, you know.
Well, thanks, boys. Yeah. So the men's health clinic up in Manitoba. So, you know, really proud of it. It's a kind of a one-stop shop for a lot of men's health conditions like that all of us sort of treat. So male infertility, Peyronie's disease, penile curvature, erectile dysfunction, enlarged prostates, testicular pain. So we have ultrasound capabilities. We have a full operating room. We do high volume of vasectomies. And our biggest thing is just exactly what you guys are doing as well, is to educate the masses and really get that word out. Because the more educated someone is before coming to a consultation, I really think mm-hmm. they take more from it, right? Even that Absolutely. Situation where we talk about someone is, you know, potentially upset that they weren't told about post-vasectomy pain. Well, maybe they were. You know, maybe they were just so overwhelmed during that initial consultation. They didn't really, you know, the doctor came in for a quick 5 minutes, and it's challenging. So what we try to do is before the consultation, you read up on stuff. And then when you come there, you're like, oh, I have some secondary questions. And like, it's just constantly trying to improve that patient experience. So I think education is key. And it's great that you guys have been big advocates for that. And I think that's how this game's going to change and how we get the right information out there.
Awesome. So all of our Canada listeners can go find you in Manitoba, correct?
We'll take care of them.
And what's your
where is Manitoba? Yeah. No, I'm just kidding.
It's like very north. Like I think it's like where the North Pole is or something.
In the north.
Really far.
you can see the lights, the northern lights. Just take that direct from LAX.
Sounds cold.
That's too cold for where we live. Absolutely. The idea that you have to plug in your cars to keep the cars from like freezing is a concept that I can never live anywhere where that exists. So it's too much for me. But this has been great. Thank you so much, Dr. Patel, for joining us. And guys, if you have any questions about vasectomies, you know, always talk to your local urologist. They are more than happy to talk to you about this. This is a very popular procedure, as you guys said, and a lot of great urologists around your community will probably be offering it to you. As always, thanks for listening to Man Up. Questions, comments, concerns, you can always reach out to Kevin or I through our social media platforms, as well as the Man Up social media platforms, which is at the Man Up Pod on TikTok, Instagram, Twitter. We also have our YouTube channel, which we would love you to subscribe at. We're also on Facebook. But otherwise, download, subscribe, give us a review on any podcasting platform of 5 stars. Kevin, what's our website? Where can they find us on our website?
Our website is www.manuppod.com.
All right. For Dr. Patel and Kevin, thanks for listening. Until next time, have a good one, guys.